We have a second reading, and it's again in Romans chapter 8. Page 1605. It's from verse 28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. I wonder what qualifications you have. Many different sorts, of course. We all need qualifications of some sort. Till I retired, I had a qualification to be unleashed on an unsuspecting world with a forklift truck. And talking with our daughter Hannah the last couple of weeks or so, she reminded me that it's 4 years since Derby University unleashed her on an unsuspecting world as an therapist. You may have many qualifications. But I wonder whether you have the qualifications that Paul talks about here in Romans. In verses 28, or rather 29 and 30 of Romans chapter 8. If you want a title, I suppose you could call them The Christian's Qualifications for Glory. Or The Christian's Qualifications for Heaven. We find them in these two verses, 28 and 29. And here's the first of them. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. For whom he did foreknow, or choose beforehand. The Christian is chosen. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, puts it this way: according as he, God the Father, has chosen us in him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. Louis Berkhof, in his masterly systematic theology, says of election by God, it is an expression of the sovereign will of God, his divine good pleasure. The danger is, if you've been a Christian for a number of years, that we stop wondering about the grace of God. We stop wondering. We lose our sense of wonder at what God has done. People today talk about things having the wow factor, whatever that may mean. Well, please don't think me irreverent. Surely, here is the biggest wow factor of all time. You are a Christian tonight, by God's grace, If you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you know your sin is forgiven, then God Almighty elected you to eternal life. He chose you before he flung a single star into space. You see, it's not that being the all-knowing God, he, as it were, foresaw that at some point in time we would come to put our faith in him. Of course he knew that. But it's more wonderful than that. He chose us anyway. Here's the first qualification for heaven. The Christian was elected to eternal life, the dawn of eternity. It can't be dependent on anything we've done, because by nature we're sinners. Paul, writing again to the Romans, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seek after God." That's all of us by nature. Paul, again, writing to the Ephesians, in chapter 2, says that at one time we were dead in sin. We weren't just in need of the odd bit of reformation. We were dead. Dead to God. Dead to his word. Dead to our imminent spiritual peril. We were like Jonah, running away from God. We were like Adam and Eve, you remember, after they had taken the forbidden fruit, after they disobeyed God, when they heard the voice of the Lord God calling to them in the evening, what do? They hid. That's what we were doing. And I wonder if there's anyone here for whom that is still the case. You are hiding from God, or trying to, running away from God, because you know God is holy, because you know you're a sinner. Eternal election. We're a believer. We were predestined by God. Matthew Paul says, "Therefore, knowledge of God is the ground of our election." But it was for a purpose. Why? Why has God done this? Why has God elected us? To be conformed, says Paul, to the image of his Son. God has done it to make us like his Son. To be conformed, says Matthew Paul, to him in holiness and suffering here, and in glory hereafter. So that we can come to this Almighty God who has created all things, the vastness of the heavens, and call him Father. To have that relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many angels in heaven, archangels. Not one of them dare call God Father. So who can?
We can. Fallen, rebellious, at one time hell-deserving, hell-bent sinners, whom he has chosen to set his love upon. Robert Haldane, the 19th century preacher and writer, puts it this way: man was created in the image of God, but when sin entered, he lost the image, and Adam begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, quoting Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, thus communicating to his posterity his corrupted nature. But as God had determined to save a part of the fallen race, it was according to his good pleasure to renew his image in those whom he had chosen to his salvation. This was to be accomplished by the incarnation of his Son, to whose image they were predestined to be conformed. Predestined. Caught. By God. Second qualification. It's here. Called, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. The Christian is effectually called by God. And it's from God. It's entirely God's work. It's not man's doing. Something the Lord Jesus Christ makes crystal clear when he says in John chapter 6 verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Remind us something very solemn, that no man, however good he might think he is, however hard he might try to be good enough, no man can come to the Father through his own work, his own effort. That's why the call of God universally is rejected. Why we find it so hard on a Tuesday. Because as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. This is how we were, but for the mercy of God. And I wonder if there's anyone here, and you're like the people in Jerusalem. Luke, in his account, Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44, recounts how when the Lord Jesus came and beheld Jerusalem, he wept over it. And says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you, and you would not. Why did the Lord Jesus weep? Because he saw not only their situation, not only the hardness of their heart, he also saw what was going to happen. Coming judgment. Paul again reminds us that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, and you stand before him on that day, will he have to say to you, I would have gathered you to myself, and you would not. Now is this accepted time, says the scripture. Now is the day of salvation. We need to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. So the believer is predestined. He's called. And there's a third qualification. He's justified. Justified. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Notice it's God that justifies. We do not justify ourselves. But what is justification? It's a work of God. It's something only God can do. The hymn writer puts it this way: because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. It's a work of grace. It's entirely unmerited. As we said before, no amount of good works, no amount of sacrifice will do. It's a work of grace. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, puts it this way in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16: knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. But even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And again in his epistle to the Romans, chapter 3 and verse 24, he justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a work of grace. And justification is a work that is once and for all. It's not like sanctification, where it's a continual work. Justification is once and for all. If you have a prisoner who's been on trial, he's in the dock, the prosecution defence has argued the case, the verdict has been given, it's either guilty or not guilty. The prisoner isn't found gradually guilty or not guilty. The sentence is there. It's one or the other. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross once and for all. The once for all sacrifice. And whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is justified once and for all. Notice how Paul puts it, the beginning of chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is now no condemnation. Not there will be then no condemnation. True, of course. But there is now. All who come to the Lord Jesus Christ are saved in that moment and saved for all eternity. Paul again in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the present tense. But also, there is a fourth qualification: glorified by the eternal God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Geoffrey Wilson says this: the purpose, the eternal purpose of God for his children finds its historical expression in their calling and justification. And these acts are the earnest of their future glorification, the certainty of which is indicated here by the past tense. Stuart Olliott, in his book on Romans, puts it this way: every person who God so predestinated, he called by the gospel, justified and glorified. It is all in the past tense, because it is so certain that it is as good as happened. Not one of those on whom God has set his love will fail to arrive in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said this in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 39. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Here is the wonderful promise. You're thinking, will he receive me? Here it is in black and white. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and he or she that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I've turned to that promise more than once when the devil has come with his words. The word of God. Yes, we may be vilified by the world, but will one day pass away. But listen, if you have these qualifications, you have none other on this earth. We need these for heaven, and they're all God given. And yes, we may be vilified, abused, insulted by the world. Horatius Bonner, in his fine hymn, "Go labour on, spend and be spent," and whenever I hear that line, I always think of my late and dearly loved father-in-law. Because at our wedding, he suggested it was a good hymn for new husbands. And he takes, new husbands, take note. Go labour on, spend and be spent. But he has this verse: men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not, the master praises. What a man. This present evil world may scorn us and criticize us unjustly. And woe to us if they ever do it justly. But it doesn't matter, for all true believers will one day be owned by the Lord of heaven himself, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. So what of us? Do you have these credentials? They're not ones you can earn, like degrees from universities. They are supplied by God himself to the believer. What does the hymn writer say? Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee. Is that your testimony? Then God himself will supply these credentials. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, Moses said to the people, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you the fewest of all people, but," and here it comes, "because the Lord loved you." Those five words say it all. Because the Lord loved you. Lord, how can you love me? I'm so full of sin. I'm so full of imperfection. Why me? Why choose me? Here's the answer, the only answer I can give. Because the Lord loved you. But is there someone here? And you know that's not, this is not true for you. You haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be trying to avoid him. One of the things we do on the open air is warn people that there is a day coming when we shall all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was in Athens, and he sought to warn those there, and he said this, Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. We all have diary dates. This evening is a date in my diary. And if I may put it reverently, God has set a date in his diary in which he will judge the world. Everyone will stand before him. Of course, our dates can be changed. Circumstances can alter them. But not that one. Not that one. God has, as it were, set a date in which he will judge the world. And you notice that word command, did you? But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. We love John 3:16, and rightly so. We could probably quote it from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But could you quote John 3:18? It says this: he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Did you notice that little word is? The condemnation, the sentence has been passed. It only awaits either a pardon or the moment of execution. It's as though, the nearest example I can give is the condemned cell. The sentence has been passed. The prisoner is in the condemned cell. And either there's going to be a pardon or there's going to be execution. And Scripture tells us that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord called you into eternity tonight. Where would you stand? Where would you go? The Christians credentials, qualifications for heaven. Foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. If you are a Christian, then rejoice, because these are yours, and no one can take them from you. If you're not a Christian tonight, I urge you, don't wait. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will receive you. Put your trust in Him. Confess your sin, that you too might know the joy of sin forgiven. So, the qualifications, all from God. Nothing we can do. All supplied by God. May God help us to walk worthy of Him, who has foreknown us, predestinated us, called us, justified us, and will one day glorify us. For His name's sake. Amen.